Hello, welcome to the Grace Life Podcast. The message you're about to hear, if diligently applied, will absolutely change your life. We're praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, thereby allowing the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Now let's join the service already in progress with Pastor West.
About 2 weeks now, which lesson out of the lessons that I've been teaching over the last 4 years. And I was sure last night, I've been sure for over a week which one it was until this morning, because he reminded me through every lesson I read how much he loved me. Amen. So this morning he gave me power in love, which is kind of a culmination of everything I've learned over the past, how long have I been coming here? Since 2010. Most all the verses I'm going to do tonight are out of the Passion Translation, because I tell you, the Passion Translation really does expose his love to us 100%. So I'm just going to dive right on in. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Love is the greatest, because God is love. And that's kind of simple, but that's the truth. Yeah. 1 John 4:7-21, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of Him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us when He sent His matchless Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved Him. It was His love, not ours. He proved it by sending His Son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. Delightfully loved ones, if He loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor, but if we love one another, God makes His permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in Him, and His love is brought to its full expression in us. And He has given us His Spirit within us so that we can have the assurance that He lives in us and that we live in Him. Moreover, we have seen with our own eyes and can testify to the truth that Father God has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Those who give thanks that Jesus is the Son of God live in God and God lives in them. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love He has for us. God is love. You think he's trying to bring a point home here? Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them by living in God. Love is the essence of God, and nothing happens outside of love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 in the Message actually says it like this: go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourself to the gifts God gives you. The NLT puts it like this: let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us why. Oh, you know what? I didn't even finish that one verse. I'm so sorry about that. But we'll just move forward. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but when someone prophesies, he speaks to encourage people, to build them up, and to comfort them. I believe we're all called to prophesy. And I don't believe we're all called to the office of a prophet. That's a little different. That's more specific. So don't all go around calling yourselves a prophet when you leave tonight, because, you know, you might get something you don't want there. But we are all called to encourage, to strengthen, and to comfort one another.
Yeah, that's right.
A great way for someone new to this, because I remember in the beginning when I knew I could hear God's voice, as far as I've been told, I've seen in the Word, and hear God's voice, but how can I give that to somebody? And I didn't know how to do it. Well, if it's to encourage, strengthen, comfort, edify, build up, use God's Word to do it. And I know I'm speaking to the choir pretty much on a Wednesday night, but God wanted me to remember this because of things that I've been going through this past year. But a great, you know, just some examples. You can tell somebody you can do all things through Christ. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the son or a daughter of a king. A few months ago, when we were downtown, there was this man, and he was standing in line, and he wasn't getting food. He was trying to just get around to get to the other things, and we see that all the time. That's no big deal. But I wanted to make sure, because some of them won't eat pork. And so I was just kind of like, hey, man, you're not going to get some food? And he said, nah, I don't know. I said, come on. Now, we made a homemade marinara sauce. We spent hours cooking chicken because we know some folks down here don't really care for pork sometimes for religious reasons. And I said, and we did that just for you. And he perked up and he kind of looked at me. And he said, you did? And I said, yeah, you're a very important man. And he's still kind of looking at me like I'm crazy because he's homeless, you know, smelling like beer. And I said, yeah, you're the son of a king. And he said, this is kind of looking at me, and I said, you believe in Jesus, right? And he said, well, yeah. I said, you're the son of a king, and this table's laid out for you. I changed the countenance of that man. I could see it tangibly just by speaking truths to him. So we're called to do that, and we can use God's word to do it. When you have the heart of Christ, his love in you, you begin to see people the way God sees them. And it's from that place of love that you have authority to speak into their life. That's one thing I've definitely learned over the past 4 years. You don't really have a right to speak into their life if you don't have love for them, because it might be selfish motives that you're speaking into them. But when you're speaking out of God's love, it's not your motive, it's kingdom motive. Galatians 3, 27 and 28 says that we have been covered and clothed with Jesus' anointing, and we no longer see each other in our former state. I'm not supposed to look at one person the way I would have looked at them prior to 4 years ago. Now, I know I've been coming to church for a lot longer than that, but when you get out there, you start to see things a little different. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, I know that seems kind of funny to throw that in there with love, but God's vision is love. It is love. God wants us to have his vision. His vision is his heart, and his vision is his love pouring out on all mankind through you. Do we have a revelation of love as our heart culture, where we our first response to people and situations are from a place of love and not anger or judging, or we could fill in the blanks there. And I've been there, done that on all of it probably in the past. Pastor Eric talked last week about Satan attacking God's character in the garden. What's God's character? Love. We all could look back into our lives and see where the character of love was attacked. Some of us maybe further, you know, for years and years. Some of us maybe not so much. But somebody we loved that said they loved us hurt us. That was Satan using that person. That wasn't that person. And we've got to learn to flip that script on the enemy, that not look at that person, that it's them, that it's not them. And as a matter of fact, if we look at it that way, you can have a heart of compassion for them. It seems hard that you'd have a heart of compassion maybe against somebody that hurts you, but I know if it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. When you cry for somebody that, not because they hurt you, but for them. Because God will bring you to a place where you can see them. Mine was the person that assaulted me. And I was brought to a place after he told me I didn't pray for him. And I looked at the heavens and I said, but I said I forgave him. And that was the key word. I said I forgave him. But he brought me to a place where I saw him as a child, that some horrendous things happened to, that created him to be the person that hurt me. And I cried for him. I mean, it hurt me. Because people don't... I know we're born of a sinful nature, but I don't believe people are just born bad. Things happen. And that does. It gives you a heart of compassion for somebody when you can turn something and look at it that way. I kind of got off what I was doing there, but that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry. Let me see how I can fill this in. We all could look, I already said that. Satan uses people to distort how we see love. Because if I can't see God's love, then I'm not able to be God's love. It's impossible. It's impossible. Luke 10:25-28. Just then, a religious scholar stood before Jesus in order to test his doctrines. He posed the question, "Teacher, what requirement must I fulfill if I want to live forever in heaven?" Jesus replied, "What does Moses teach us? What do you read in the law?" The religious scholar answered, "It states you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your passion, all your energy, and your every thought. And you must love your neighbor as well as you love yourself." Jesus said, "That is correct. Now go and do exactly that, and you will live." And then in Matthew, he's pretty much saying the same thing, but there's a certain part that I want to point out the way he says it in this. Jesus answered him, "Love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme command. And the second," and this is the part I want to point out, "is like in its importance." So it's equal. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Where there is love, there is God. That's where he lives, period. Our vision will be God's vision if we have a heart culture of love. Colossians 2 in the Message says, "Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, just absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ." That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Philippians 4:8 says, "So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind." Hey, just describe God. "And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always." If you're doing that, it's kind of hard to see through your eyes. It really is. Focusing on love, focusing on God and his goodness will give us his vision. Love will correct every violation of justice. Don't speak to injustice. Correct it. Love can correct it. Look at what happened with me. Worldly love is what hurt me and broke me. It's just plain and simple. Love was distorted in me. But through his love, and I'm saying this because I mean this with all my heart, through his love in y'all, it corrected it. He corrected it. He made it clear in the example of this body, this part of the body in my life. That's the only thing that changed as I started coming here. I believed in Jesus all my life. So the example of what you express as his ambassador, his love, it does change people's lives. Because like I said, I'm sitting in front of you 9 years later, and I'm not the same person I used to be. The world is only going to see his love through us as we take it outside these four walls. Because not everybody's just going to come knock on the door here. They're not just going to come through. And you ain't going to drag them in, not if they really don't want to come. In the past 12 months, the enemy has tried to attack love in my life again. He has. And I'm here right now to declare and stand on that he cannot take what God has given me. He won't do it. I will not ever go backwards. God doesn't give as the world gives. He doesn't take it back. And it's up to us, though, to feed and to nurture and protect what God has given us. We can't take it for granted. We really can't. When you come from a place of love, authority comes. When we have vision of what God can do, when we see what love can do, then we see revelation. Then we can see where revelation and words of knowledge and prophetic utterance is an extension of his love. So that's why prophecy is brought into this. All of a sudden, if you speak into someone's life, now if it is a direct word that you get, because it can happen, it will happen, he speaks to you, you just got to be willing and to receive it. It really can change the direction of someone's life because all of a sudden they see God. He's thinking of me. I matter enough that he's thinking of me. It's no longer about the gifts. It's about God extending his love here on this earth in the now. There was a guy, my very first word of knowledge I got, And I still don't operate in it fluently. I'm going to kind of tell myself a little funny thing, because I did not know how to do this smoothly at all. Didn't, you know, I don't sound like pastor who's been doing it 20-something years or anything. And this was when we first started going into Birmingham. And his name is David. And I had met him the month before. So this might have been maybe my second or third time going in the streets. And I knew he was on my heart for the whole month. I prayed in the spirit for him because I don't know this man. I know his name's David. That's all I know. I didn't know what to pray for. Well, we get there, and we're busy. We're getting things ready. And he comes up, and he says, "Michelle, I need to talk to you and Rainey. I need to talk to you and your sister." And I said, "Well, let us get set up, and I'll get with you." And then so we get set up, and he says, "Well, you're running now. Can you come talk to me now?" So I go over, and I start talking. I said, "What's up, David?" He says, "Well, I went to the doctor." And the minute he said that, the word liver dropped in my spirit. And I couldn't very well tell him, "Be quiet," or "Shut up." You know, that would be very nice. That's not showing love. So I was just, I looked at him. I'm like, "Okay, how do I do this?" I said, "Stop." And he just looked at me goofy. And I'm like, "I just need him to stop talking." But again, I didn't think saying "stop talking" would sound very polite. So I just looked at him. I said, "Stop." And he said, "What?" And I said, "It's your liver." And he just got this look on his face of amazement. And he says, "There's no way you could have known. There's no way you could have known. There's absolutely no way you could have known. I've got the doctor's report right here. And they said it was my liver and I'm going to die." I started praising the Lord. Again, he's looking at me like I'm goofy. Because I'm thinking, hallelujah. First of all, I got a word of knowledge. I'm not telling him I was excited and surprised about that. But I was that basically, I was like, "No, you don't understand. God wants to show you how much he loves you. That's why he told me that. You're on his mind." And so I grabbed Rainey and I said, "Come on, we're going to pray for you and you're going to be healed today." So we laid hands on him, we prayed for him. I go back, I start volunteering some more. Well, then he comes back in. I said, "I need to talk to you still." I said, "Okay, what you need to talk to me about?" He says, "Well, you know, when I got this diagnosis, because of his former lifestyle, him and his dad, very strange relationship. They hadn't spoke to each other in years. And he says, I really want to go home and set things right with my dad." And I looked at him again and I said, "Stop." Again, not very fluid at this, okay? I've gotten better, y'all, so I'm not embarrassing Grace Church or anybody else. But and I said, "Stop." And I said, where do your parents live?" And he said, "They live in Childersburg." And I said, "I've been praying for you for a month," and I didn't have a clue why. I said, "I live 15 minutes from Childersburg. Today you're going home to your family." He went home that day. I took him home, and he's never been back on the streets again. So I choose to believe that not only was he healed, but his relationship was restored. So it does change somebody's life when you are obedient, and it's scary. I know it's scary because I still think people are going to be like, "And who do you think you are? You know, where are you getting this from? What makes you so great that you..." No, I'm not so great. I'm so scared. Really, when I do this, I'm scared. And then I know I don't have a spirit of fear, but God's working with me. Thank God he comes to me where I'm at. Jesus was constantly revelatory. He was always listening to and looking for what the Father was saying and doing. John 5:19 says, "So Jesus said, I speak to you timeless truth. The Son is not able to do anything for himself or through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same works as his Father." In John 8:28, "You will know me as I am after you have lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you will realize that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me." John 12:49, "For I am not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I speak by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and who has instructed me what to say." Jesus modeled a spirit-filled life for us. He was the example of how we're supposed to live. God is still speaking to his children today, and we need to live with holy expectation. You know, I'm going to tell on myself again. I think this one was in a word of knowledge, and it was on a Wednesday. And I was learning, again, like I said, how do I hear God's voice? That was really, really, really prevalent on my mind because I want that. I want, you know, Jesus lives in me. He only did what the Father did. He only said what the Father said, and that was what my heart's desire was. And I can't do that if I can't hear him. Now, I've learned since then that he speaks to me through his word. He speaks to me through other people. I don't always have to be the one to hear him from inside. But that particular day, I sat down on the couch. I had this whole little thing I'd do. I'd turn music on with no words. Can't have words because my brain gets all over the place if I have words. So it just could be music. And I sat on the couch and I put my arms like this. And I always envisioned me walking on the shore of Galilee with Jesus. And I'd reach out and hold his hand and I'd say, "What do you want to talk to me about today?" And again, I'm simple. He gets me. He made me that way. And I've got my eyes closed because I don't need nothing distracting this girl because my mind can go 100 miles an hour. And first thing I heard was, "How do you expect to receive anything with your arms closed?" I thought, well, that's true. If I'm receiving, that means I'm taking, and I can't do it like this. And I know that was more of a thing about my heart. But I did, because of what he said, I opened my arms so I was ready to receive. And the moment he did that, he dropped someone in my spirit. He just dropped him down in front of me. And he said some things that he wanted this person to hear. And funny thing is this is not a person that comes to church very often at all here. They do, but it's not very often. And I said, "Well, if that person's there, Lord, I'll share what you wanted me to share." Okay? And honestly, I was really hoping the person wouldn't come. I ain't going to lie to you because I was getting there. They're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to think, "Who do you think you are?" All this stuff. I get here, and guess what? Wednesday night, they were here. I'm like, "Oh, gosh, God knows what he's doing, don't he?" Well, I did not talk to the person at the beginning of service. I let my fear. But he would not leave me alone during the whole service. Not even sure I received anything during the service because he wouldn't leave me alone. So I ran after the person before they left, and I shared what the Lord had me share. And they cried, and they said thank you. They really needed to hear that day. They were in a situation that they just needed to be encouraged that God's in control. So again, I want to encourage you. It don't matter if you think you're not, if you think somebody's going to think you're nuts. I'd rather be obedient and hopefully help someone be encouraged, comforted, edified, than not be obedient and miss an opportunity to be who God created me to be. We should expect revelation, knowledge, and words of knowledge. Then we can speak these words of knowledge straight from the Father's heart into someone's life in the here and now. This is us extending God's love to them. They will know it's from the Father's heart. They will see that they are in the Father's thoughts and that he cares for them right now, in the now. Because I know a lot of us, any one of us can sit there and say sometimes we feel alone, that we wonder if he's there. You know, things happen and they seem to pile up and you're wondering. We need to constantly be in this word reminding us how much he loves us. Because if we know how much he loves us, then, you know, okay, the thought might come, "Well, you're alone. He didn't care about you today, blah, blah, blah." And he'll send one of y'all with a text or something, and I'm so thankful for that. So please keep being obedient. It matters. It does help. It really does. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 16:13 says, "But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak on his own, but only what he hears from the Father, and he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come." So it's not just for Jesus. Spirit lives in us, and it says when the truth-giving Spirit comes, that he will reveal these things to us prophetically, what's to come for us and for other people. God didn't put any limitations on this. He didn't say, "Oh, yeah, no, that's not for you." Mm-mm. Holy Spirit's for every believer. We all know that. Again, I know I'm speaking to the choir about this, but he didn't. He didn't pick and choose. Well, no, not that one. They're not going to do the right thing. He's there. Okay, he's there. He's loyal. He ain't going nowhere. Acts 2:17-18. "This is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everybody and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. The Holy Spirit will come upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." Again, I'm going to remind you, I'm not saying every one of y'all, myself, is a prophet. I'm not saying you're in the office of a prophet, but go to 1 Corinthians 14:3. Comfort, edify, strengthen. that makes this a whole lot easier if you think about that. Each one of us need that. Where was that? When we know love, then we know God, and His love resides in us. John 14:21, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. John 14:23. Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. It's love is the key. It is. I don't care what you're doing for God. The root of it has to be in love. Every bit of it. Then we don't look around the world at what He's not doing when we're looking at through the eyes of His love. We see it from His perspective and we see what He is doing. You know, and also, none of this is to call out someone's wrongs. You know, and it's not. Love don't do that. Love does not do that. Love corrects the wrongs. We no longer look at people at face value. We see God's value in them. We are created in God's image and likeness, and He's love. And I know years ago, I think probably my first lesson, and I might have done it with the fruit of the Spirit, but you can do it with 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. I'm going to read it as it says, but everywhere there's love, you could put yourself in there. You're created in His image. He's love. Love is large and incredibly patient. I don't know if I'd want to say that, Laura. I don't want to confess that I'm large. I like being smaller. But love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best of others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Like I said, just picture that. Michelle never takes failure as defeat, for I never give up. This is something we should confess over ourselves. And that was the Passion Translation, if anybody likes the way that was worded, because to me, that strengthens me. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Then speak His words out loud where you can hear them and feed your own self. Pastor, you know, he does what he does, but he's not with us 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and we can't call him that much. We got to do this ourselves sometimes. Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Earlier when I was talking about me crying for the person that assaulted me, it was funny. Pastor had asked, this is when we're doing spirit, soul, and body. This scripture had zero to do with spirit, soul, and body. I even went back through the book, taught it at the house. That scripture's not in there. But this was going on at the same time as I was doing that. And so somehow the Lord led me to that scripture while I was studying for spirit, soul, and body. I don't remember how, but you know, His ways are not my ways. So that night I actually saw a heart transplant. And we have to do that. To me, you know, He says to use your imagination. That's the place where I'm the most like Him. He speaks to you in your imagination. So why not picture yourself with that heart transplant? It becomes real then. It's not a physical thing. Mine was like light. But I saw it, and then the next morning I'm crying for someone that I never thought I'd cry for. And I've cried for many people since then. And it's a good cry. And I don't necessarily get mad about crying anymore. I used to get mad about crying. I was too big for that or something. Once we are given God's heart, we come from the place of pure love, which gives us the authority to speak into someone's life words which have creative value, to call out who they are. And we're supposed to do that. There has to be development inside of us that we trust and know that we hear God's voice. There has to be a place where we know and accept that we are loved, that we are a good thing and chosen by God, empowered by Holy Spirit. John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father for my sake, he will give it to you." The words "for my sake," whatever you ask for the Father for my sake, that jumped out to me. It is for his sake that we are empowered to call out the treasure in people, for they are his inheritance. It is for his sake that we are to be his love to the world around us, so that they can see it and want to know him. It's for his sake that we bind the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom to those who are bound, and heal the sick. And you are his chosen instrument to do that. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation, set apart as God's devoted ones. He's called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world." I think that's beautiful. In Ephesians 1:4, "And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe." He joined us to himself before the foundation of the universe. "Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence." When we get this, it will be a healthy self-expression. We have to know who God is inside of us and who we are in him. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." If I don't have a healthy identity and I don't love myself, then how can I love my neighbor as myself or as Christ loved me? Because we're supposed to love each other as Christ loved us. No spiritual gift nor spiritual authority can operate outside of love. How can you have the authority to set the captives free if you don't have love for them? As we open our hearts to his love, he will give us authority. We need this authority to overcome the world with his forgiveness, with his mercy, and with his grace. This is his heart. We don't need to just experience his love. We need to be his love. I would like to declare, pray, whichever way you want to call it, Ephesians 3, starting at verse 16, over everybody. "And I pray, Father," excuse me, "and I pray that you, Father, would unveil within us the unlimited riches of your glory and favor until supernatural strength floods our innermost being with your divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using our faith, the life of God will be released deep inside of us. The resting place of your love will become the very source and root of our lives. Then we will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is your love? How enduring and inclusive is it? Endless love beyond measure that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into us as we are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in us and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than our greatest request, our most unbelievable dream, and exceed our wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes us. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. In Jesus' name, amen." Also, real quick, Kristen and Elliot, you know, years ago I had a dream about y'all, and it was weird because, again, I was new at all this too. And I remember getting the words "wind, long arm, mighty move of the Spirit." Well, that just won't leave me. And he's, the last couple of days especially, you two are called to, for sure, a word of knowledge prophetic ministry as a team. It's a one-on-one thing. It's like where Kristen ends, Elliot will begin. Y'all will finish this together. Part of that dream is I saw y'all in a big banquet hall. Well, wind, breath of God, is inspire. Okay, so this will inspire people. The people you speak to will inspire the people that are watching. Okay, it really will, because people are watching. They pay attention to what's going on around them more than we think they do sometimes. Long arm. It's a long reach. This ministry is going to reach a lot of people. Mighty move of the Spirit. First word in the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is going to change and transform so many people's lives, because they're going to see His love pouring out of you too. And I had to tell y'all that. So I love you guys.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Michelle. Praise the Lord. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Hey, y'all did a good job, and for coming out tonight and, you know, and getting your shovels out and getting all that snow out and being so committed just to bury it under all that snow. And wow. Yeah. You know, anything you're going through or you've been through, anybody here ever been through anything? Well, let me ask you this. No one raised their hand. Does anyone know anyone who's been through anything? That's the one thing that Satan uses the most to attack. He likes to make you feel like you're over here by yourself. You're abandoned. Depending on what the situation is, he brings fear in, because now maybe he's attacking your mind, your body, your ability to produce income. Everything's at stake. You look around, everybody's living life, and yours has come to a screeching halt. But the whole thing of that is he's attacking the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. I was just thinking of the scripture. I got the Passion Bible here also. It has a lot of good ways of putting things. It's like the Message. It's not really a translation, but it's a paraphrase. But when it gets into these kind of subjects, and I tell you, it's awesome. It's a tool you should have. And if you don't have a Passion translation, that means you don't have passion. But you can get one for $29. You can buy a Passion for about $29. Anyway, yeah, praise the Lord. But if you look at what Paul was taught to the church at Corinth, out of this chapter, and then she was in a lot of these verses. In chapter 12, we know he talks about the body. We know he talks about the gifts, right? And then we know he talks about the offices of the fivefold ministry. And he likens the body and the gifts as every part of your physical body is important. There are certain organs that you can go forward in life and not have. Obviously, there's some you can't. But how many of you would be willing, because we have some butcher knives in the back before we leave, as a test study to show we'll remove a finger or two or a toe or two or something or an ear, and you can still go forward in life. But how many of you want to leave here with everything you came, what you brought in the door? Why? Because they're all important, right? So there's no little big yous and, you know, and I'm big, you're little, I'm important, you're not important. So Paul really does an awesome job in telling us that, you know, if everybody was the eye, how would anybody smell? If the whole body was an ear, how would we see? If we were all just feet, you know, we might have athlete's feet or something. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying, he talks about the importance of the body coming together. And he finishes with this in the translation. He says, you are the body of the anointed one. And each one of you is unique and vital part of it. God has placed the church the following. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then those with gifts of miracles, gifts of divine healing, gifts of revelation knowledge, gifts of leadership, gifts of different kinds of tongues. Not everyone's apostle, not everyone's a prophet, nor a teacher, not everyone performs miracles, nor the gifts of healing or speaking in tongue, interpretation of tongues. But you should all constantly, here it is, but you should all constantly boil over with passion in seeking the higher gifts. King James would finish to say, but he says, but let me show you, even with all the gifts and all that I put in the body to be a blessing to the body, let me show you a more excellent way than all the gifts and all the fivefold office. And he said, the most excellent way is love. The passion ends it this way. Now you should all constantly boil over with passion and seeking the higher gifts. And now I'll show you a superior way to live that is beyond comparison. And of course, he's talking about love. Going into where Miss Michelle started in 1 Corinthians 13, where other translations also say it, said if you had the faith to remove mountains, if you could interpret all tongues, you had the gift of doing that. If you gave your body to be burned, but you didn't have love, I think the Amplified says you are a useless nobody. And lastly, before we go, because love is the key to everything, I just sense the love of God wanting to help somebody before we leave here tonight. And we've already been helped in the Word and made adjustments tonight and said, oh, yeah, I remember that. I'm supposed to remember that. How'd I get thinking like this? Uh-huh. And I appreciate her being candid about some things and transparent. I think it's good when ministers can be transparent sometimes. You know, everybody deals with life, don't they? Anyway, Mark chapter 11, and I'll stay in the, I guess I'll stay in the Passion Translation. And Jesus says this in verse 25. He said, the Jesus exclaimed, Father, thank you for your Lord. You're the supreme ruler over heaven and earth. You have hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and wise in their own eyes. Instead, you have shared it with those who humble themselves. Father, your plan delights your heart as you have chosen this way to extend your kingdom by giving it to those who have become like trusting children. You have entrusted me, this is Jesus saying, with all that you are and all that you have. No one fully and intimately knows the Son except the Father. No one fully and intimately knows the Father except the Son. But the Son is able, and I'll say willing and ready, to unveil the Father to anyone he chooses. He doesn't randomly pick you can and you can't. You can and you can't. I know it says how like, he may choose you, may not choose you. But love is still, it is the key thing here. She read John 14, those who love him, he empowers them to obey the commandment of love. The King James puts it like this, if you obey me, then you'll get love. But it kind of makes you think it that way. Now, I mean, we receive his love, and his love and his grace empowers us to live the life. And in doing that, the commandment is obeyed. See, not only did she forgive this person, but he furnished the love wherewith her to do it. In your flesh, you couldn't have done that. Someone violates you in such a manner, you can't reach down into your flesh and fix a spiritual problem. Can you? If I have a motor that's blown and I can't take the bill and he replaced it with a blown motor, he didn't fix anything. Right. Now, you said, did he change the motors? Oh, yeah, he changed it, all right, with another blown motor, right? So we still have the same problem. So here's where I want to finish. He says, so I've come to reveal the Father to anyone. He asked the question. He said, are you weary? Well, you don't have to raise your hand. Are you weary? You've been tired? You've been physically tired? You ever been mentally wiped? You ever went, you said, I've had it up to here, but now you're over there somewhere? And it doesn't look like nothing's changing? say I'm speaking the word and it got 30% worse? Huh? I came to church and they prophesied this and lost two more yesterday. That's okay. The seed goes in the ground. The sower sows the word. Here's your seed. You put it in the soil. And God said, before I made you, I made seed and I made soil. So if you'll put seed where soil goes, the seed and the soil, when they get together, they know what to do. You have seed. You have soil. Stay in love and you'll have good soil. Stay in hope, you'll have good soil. Stay in faith, you'll have excellent soil. And you will produce a bountiful harvest. And when it all comes in, and you get the 30, 60, and 100-fold, and beyond that, someone's going to say, you sure were lucky. Yeah. Amen. You know, sometimes the trial in life, sometimes the physical, it's really a spiritual thing, but the thing that attacks you is designed, never comes from God, but is designed from the very area that your gifting and your call is to help people. The enemy is not all-knowing, but he knows a lot. And he studied you. You had a demon assigned to you as soon as you said, Jesus, become Lord and Savior. They've studied you your whole Christian life. And they can tell if you're serious or you're a carnal Christian. And when you hit the serious button, you attract them. So the very area that God wants to use you in the most, the reason you're here, that you're talented in that area, you're gifted in that area, you have spiritual gifts in that area. You, what comes out of you easy, we work for. When we're searching for the words, it just flows out of you effortlessly. I don't care if it's baking a cake or whatever it is. You know, I was kidding Michelle. She wanted to play the song Wreck This Love, which is really good. And I told my Christian, I said, you know, we could play it. I could just go up there and play it on the keyboard, but then it would be reckless. It'd be a total wreck. We'd rename the song Bang, 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 Bang. Well, I have no gift there. I could learn, I guess, some things, but I have no gift. I said, do you have an ear for music? Yeah, if you turn it on so I can hear it. But what are you talking about other than that? I don't know what you're talking about. So are you carrying a heavy burden? Jesus invites you. He says, tonight will you come to me? Will you come to love? Is what you're carrying heavy? Are you weary from carrying it? Will you come to me? I'll refresh your life. I'm your oasis. Lakewood Church years ago, when Joel's dad was the pastor, it was Lakewood, but it was called the Oasis of Love. Say, I'll remember that. He says, now watch here. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, which is love, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, I'm humble, I'm easy to please. I was always brought up in church that God's hard. And he's making a list and shares it with Santa Claus. 3 lines. You'll find refreshment. You'll find rest in me. And all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. It's easy. So right now, if you got a burden, you got a weight, you got a physical thing, you got a mental thing, you got a financial thing, you got a relation thing, you got a thing of the past thing, you got things you've been carrying for decades, take your mask off. You know, people come to church mask on all the time. And they get good at it. Word people are the best. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. I'm the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. Got to get out of here. Can't come Wednesday. Got to see my psychologist. Lay on the couch and, well, this started back in 1940. You know, come to church the next time. Blessed coming in. Blessed going out. So let's take the mask off. Jesus asked a question. He said, are you tired? Are you weary? The message said, are you burned out in religion? Come get away with me. Jesus wants to invite you to take a trip with him. How'd you like to get away with Jesus? I'm going to go to the beach for 3 days. How'd you like to go on a trip with Jesus to anywhere? How many of you know if Jesus was here tonight? How many of you believe that if Jesus was here tonight and he would give each one of us 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour of one-on-one time, you'd leave here with no problems? Right? You say, well, yeah, if he was here. Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send one just like me. It'll be better because he can be with everybody at one time. And he said, he's just like me. And I won't be limited to 15-minute intervals. He says, you can be with me all day long. You can get up in the morning and have your coffee, open up your word in prayer, and the one who's just like me will be sitting there right with you, except I'll be in you. Peter, before Pentecost, had never had Jesus inside of him, nor did anyone. So let's cast off weariness tonight. If you're carrying something heavy, I don't care what it is, let's cast it off. If someone in your family is carrying something heavy, let's cast it off. Well, they got this disease, or they got this, or they got that, or the doctor said it. I've heard what more doctors said to me in the last 3 months. Then I'm just like, my God, if I listen to y'all, I don't even know if I can make it out to the car, much less live another week. Amen. Well, it could be this, Mr. Webb. It could be that. Well, you might have 14 of these and 3 of those, 7 of those. I said, I'm thinking the only thing that y'all are accurate about is your invoices. I done told Shelby, I said, I done paid y'all. Quit. You paid. Quit. Quit invoicing me. So they called me again, and I said, yep, name, social security number, this. She says, your account's paid. I says, I know. Why are we talking again? Leave me alone. Have a great day. Bless you. So let's tell weariness goodbye. It's like goodbye fatigue. Goodbye fear. Goodbye lack. Goodbye negative emotions. Goodbye sickness. Goodbye disease. What else we got here? What else can we have? What else we need to say goodbye to? Goodbye confusion. Goodbye, mother-in-law. No. Praise the Lord. So, and we replace that with what? Love. Nothing can separate you from love. Now, God knew this was going to happen before it happened. He didn't bring it into your life, but he knew it. You just found out this year this was going to happen. But he knew it before you was born, and he prepared you for it. And let me tell you something. If it gets to the place to where you're not in that place, he already knows that. You know, they don't start you in the 12th grade. They start you in the first. If you're super gifted, they might skip a year. But they're not going to generally take you from the first to the seventh. God's not going to put you in a seventh grade test in kindergarten. He said, if I see a test that's coming your way, he said, I'll get you out myself. He said, I won't even let you take the exam. But I'm going to tell you this. Most people who think they're in faith, they're not so much. You just haven't been tested yet. You're just depressed because you've already, or not because, you know, you didn't like the television program, or, you know, you've already seen Andy Griffith a few times, so you know what he's going to say. You wanted to go eat a steak, and I got chicken money tonight. I'm talking about a struggle. I'm talking about something that goes on. I'm talking about something that pulls in your mind and your body and your finances and everything within you more than you think's what's in you sometimes. Yeah, and I don't wish that on nobody. But I'm just telling you, you don't have a conqueror in you. You have more than a conqueror. And so I'm not taking the battle to him. I just told him there was a battle. And I'll not be moved. Amen. All right, so Sunday morning, I think most of you know, but some of you may not know, Pastor Billings and I think Miss Deborah's going to come now. And we watched them last Sunday. That was our first live. Appreciate all you who went on the website and shared and liked. I called him on Monday or Tuesday. I said, wow, I just messed with him. I said, you're famous. He said, how's that? I said, have you been on your website and seen how many saw your thing or viewed it? He says, well, I don't even know how to do it. Get on there. I said, oh, my God. Just. I thought I didn't know anything. He said, well, Deborah might know. I said, well, you have a Facebook account, don't you? He said, yeah, but I don't know. I don't ever get on it. I said, well, your church has one. Well, I didn't create it. I said, well, do you know where Facebook is on your phone? Well, yeah. I said, well, click it and just put River Church and see what comes up. That's you. And you'll have a video on there like yourself. So he's got like 266 something views. This is his third time of whatever. So they're still perfecting some things in their sound that'll turn the sound better. So it takes a little while. He's done a lot for this ministry that you don't know about. And because he cares about you and the relationship that we have with him. He said 3 years ago he was supposed to do this. Miss Debbie said there were three things she told him 3 years ago we're supposed to do. We're behind one of them is what he's doing now, but he didn't want to do it live. So he said, I'm behind, but to help me, I think he jumped in when he didn't really want to do it. But see, that's what love does. You know, if you really love someone, you won't just say, I'll be praying for you. You'll jump in the fight with them. Don't leave them by themselves. A person who's going through physical and mental things, they have now and then, you know, looking out a window for 12 hours a day is a long day. And even someone who can quote the word backwards and forwards, that the enemy will use everyone's silence against them. Huh? Now, I don't mean blow their phone up or don't, you know, knock every 15 minutes. I mean, don't just come over and, you know, just unannounced. But they need to see. They need to hear. They need to be reminded. Because as long as you hear, you're going to have a soul and you're going to have a physical body. And that's what's going to be attacked. And so he needs to know, if you pick on Tina, if you do that, or Bill or Ralph or any of us, then you're taking on all of us. Yeah. I mean, if you come after me, you can. But you're going to answer to every one of us. Don't get off by yourself. Don't think that faith is just saying, faith is not denial. People who are faith people can be sick. Physically and mentally. People who love God, things happen to them. Life happens. Loved ones leave, expected and unexpected. And they don't get over it by the next Thursday. Their whole life changes in one day. And you will never know that you need someone until you're in a situation where you know you need someone. Amen. And that's where love is the cement. Amen. And they can't necessarily always just go in there and just fix it and make it all go away. That'd be wonderful. That's called miracle. And God does those too. But just to know that someone's here with me. I'm not standing alone. Someone cares. Someone's aware. Someone's praying. I'm too tired to pray. I'm too tired to speak the word. That's okay. That's what James 5 said. Someone sick beyond the place of doing for themselves, call for someone. Call for the elders of the church. tell them, get over here. We're in trouble. I'm in trouble. I need help. That's what y'all been doing for me for weeks. And I greatly appreciate it. Amen. So you have such value, but it just shows so much. We're never so much like God than when we are given. So anyway, look, I got to get us out of here. So they'll come Saturday. He bought equipment and stuff like that to do Facebook, and he's going to do it anyway. But I know he did it because for me and the church here. And he's coming, and his church will watch live from here. He won't let me receive an offering. He'll probably stop me in the midst of it if I was going to do it. But so what I explained that Sunday was on your offering envelope on Sunday. This is just if it's in your heart to do it. I'm not taking a special offering. On your offering Sunday where it says other, right, Michelle? Where it says other, if you'll just put Pastor Billings or guest, then we'll know what you're talking about. Okay? And then after he's... and I think we're going to call it, this is, I think, this is our first quarter special offering. You know, like churches has projects, so once a quarter they take a special offering. He just don't know that he'll be the project. I can deal with him better on Tuesday or Wednesday when he gets the check and he's 60 miles away and he tears it up, it's his problem. But anyway, it's just good and right. So if it's just in your heart, and you can and want to, then that'll be wonderful. That's all. So that's how, if you hear that Sunday, whoever's doing the offering, you know, you just say, and just once again, put down others so we'll know what the other is, okay? All right, well, let's receive the $1 million offering before we go tonight. Amen. Millionaires give millions. So when I say the $1 million offering, I'm talking to millionaires. Anybody in here a millionaire? Amen. How many would not be ashamed to be rich? How many wouldn't mind to be filthy rich? How many don't mind stripping? See, the godless world, Satan, right? How many don't mind stripping everything, all of his resources? How many wouldn't even leave him his lunch money? He's already homeless. He's roaming about in the earth. He don't even have a home. Well, I have met a couple people in the last couple of years who gave him a home, but anyway, just you can tell by the growls and the snarls. All right. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for the messenger who brought it. Thank you for the gift of God in her. Thank you for the gift of God in each one of us. We receive the word with gladness. We are going to be a doer of the word. Thank you for the love of God that shed abroad in our heart. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave. Love gives. Love gives. It is the expression of love to give, not just monetarily, but edification, exhortation, comfort, in every which way, love has an expression, and so we give. But you said, if we give, I give back to you. Because the principle is put in motion. This is a seed. We're sowing it tonight. We're giving. We're bringing our tithe. And we put it in your house so there might be a supply in your house that takes care of the house so we can continue to do what you call us to do. But you said, you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. You take care of my home, I'll take care of your home. So, Father, I thank you. I receive the offering that they are giving with joy and cheer, prompt to do it, giver. And, Father, I lift it up to you, Jesus, the high priest, over our tithe and offerings. We worship you. We release our faith. And, Father, I thank you, Lord. I say in the angelic host is involved tonight in involving supernatural harvest. And I keep on wanting to say surprise harvest. There's some surprises for some of you in this room that you didn't even know. It's just put in there just because. So thank you, angels, for revealing and bringing about the supernatural and the surprise harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been on this new diet with whatever they're telling me to do. Y'all can pray for me because you can see what I've been putting up with in my house. So this is, they put me on this new diet of, they still, even it doesn't taste like food, but they say it is. So Kristen come home the other day. Kristen will tell it. And everything's so different, I don't even know what they're talking about sometimes. She said, this morning you're going to have a Himalayan breakfast. Or tonight. I said, a Himalayan. Because I'm hearing so many things, you know, that's natural this and all that, and I'm supposed to eat this and not eat that ever again, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, she said, it's going to be Himalayan. And I said, Himalayan what? She said, you're going to have Himalayan possum. I said, I ain't have no possum. She said, yeah, you got to have Himalayan possum. She said, I just took Carter to school, and on the way back, she said, I saw Himalayan in the road, and I brought him home. So, y'all help me, because don't forget me when you pray. Because I don't know what they're doing to me right now. And the insurance is paid. So, that man right there told me years ago, he said, you wake up in the morning, and they call you, said, Levi has took his life. He says, I got one word for you, investigate. That's the same word. That's a smart man out there. Check me for investigate and make sure I didn't have Himalayan. Bless y'all. See you Sunday.